Nick.
Late Night Gamers Podcast, where we make all of your gaming habits seem acceptable.
Late Night Gamers.
See, this game sucks so bad, it's so unbalanced, blah, and then I just quit and never play it ever again.
Charles.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut up a dragon's head.
Tim.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess, as long as you don't take your clothes off.
Late Night Gamers.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to episode 16 of Late Night Gamers Podcast. I'm Nick Perzanowski, and with me this week and every week is Tim Madden.
I'm hungover, so let's try to keep it down.
Steve Morgan.
By your powers combined!
And Captain Planet, Charles Caldwell.
I am Captain Planet. Oh.
Oh my god. That fucking episode, that show, like, somebody was tripping balls
Water.
When they wrote that stuff. Mm-hmm.
Fire. Like,
wind.
Can we
heart.
All- Can we yeah, all just Hart. Agree that Hart was the worst and he had such yeah. a disadvantage? Like, some guy would fucking yeah. just summon up this massive earthquake and a tidal wave, and then he would just, like, befriend a fucking rhino and it would just sit there.
I think they should have taken it to the next level and made it real, where he, like, warps their brain and makes them kill themselves. Like, seriously.
Hart! And he's actually
I
like...
I can't stop! Plooge!
Or he's like... He's like that guy from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, and he can make, like, people's hearts explode. That'd be good. Well, Tim, what did you do last night that you're hungover today?
Well, so it started snowing, so our obvious decision was, let's go get drunk. So we...
Celebrate!
We wound up downtown, and I didn't get back to like 6 this morning, so... And it's 11 right now, so I got a couple hours. And I think I might still be drunk, I don't know. But I'm just riding this wave right now.
Good. We'll try and be a little quiet this episode.
I'm going to try and whisper just a little bit.
We just want to make sure that we give you plenty of nightmares for when you actually fall asleep.
Looking forward to that.
So anyways, we're gonna get right into some news from this week. And it's a little older, but I've updated some stuff. The first thing on our agenda is the PS4, and people who own a PS4 have, as of Wednesday or Thursday, had done 10.9 million shares. And that's between captures and like photo captures and video captures, which that's pretty nuts. Mm. Like, I mean, all that stuff's going directly onto social media because that's the only place for them to go. I mean, that's the only option. You have like Twitter or Facebook and Twitch if you're broadcasting, but
I mean, it's pretty much free advertising for developers.
Yeah. It's, I mean, that's nuts. Like,
how many of those have you posted, Nick?
I don't know. I've probably posted like 10 videos and, I don't know, a bunch of pictures on Twitter. But, and I've broadcast some, but not
nearly. So much
so
that even
enough.
My mom was watching them.
I know. Your mother commented, and I posted something on, I think it was like Battlefield 4, and it was me like fucking stabbing guys in the back and shooting them in the face, and she's like, I question you. I was like,
hold.
No, I think her
family entertainment.
I think her exact phrase was, dot, dot, dot.
Yes.
In
yes.
true form.
But that's okay. And I guess the broadcasting, according to Joystick, the total number of minutes broadcast from PS4s is 20 million minutes.
Wow.
That is a lot.
I just think like the amount of like bandwidth that has been used up because of this. I'm sure like globally they've seen a spike because that's like a lot of you know, that much streaming video, that's crazy.
That was a lot. It's like, I mean, streaming video was, you know, big before, but it was more a PC thing. It was only a PC thing for the most part, and now it's just like, I think PS4 streams now account for 10% or 10 or 12% of all streams on
Holy crap.
on Twitch.
It's crazy.
Oh, I thought you were going to say on the internet. It's like, oh, 10%, good lord. No.
Yeah, they beat out porn. Fat guys dancing and
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty
smart.
That's pretty
move big. To add it in.
I mean, I feel like it's just gonna eventually go down, you know? I feel like people are just really, share happy right now. Like, I can share things! But, you know, eventually people are just gonna be like, I don't wanna see this shit.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, you'll get, like, something crazy, and then you wanna share, and then it'll, like, you know, it'll seem more important, you know, and everyone's not sharing stuff every day.
Yeah.
I'm gonna defriend the people that do. Every day.
Yeah, I try not to share too much, like, because it's like, I'm not going to, like, give you, like, a photo capture that you can make into a flip book of, this is what I did in this 2-hour game, and if you do a flip book, it'll take 30 seconds.
What are you talking about, Nick? You got to make art out of that. You got to make, like, a claymation video of the representation of your video.
That'd be awesome, actually.
That would be it. People don't use claymation, like, nearly enough anymore.
I know, they gotta bring back Celebrity Deathmatch.
Oh, dude, that show.
That show was so good. That, I mean, they took so many celebrities, and it was only on for, like, 2 seasons, I think. But. Mm. And I miss, like, the 80s movies that had literally, like, any kind of scene where they were attacking some giant animal. It was this, like, really terrible, like, you know, not motion capture, but claymation capture. Like, just, like, so stuttery and,
yeah,
like
stop motion.
Like half of the original Clash of
Titans. Yeah.
Exactly.
Jason and the Argonauts, the skeletons. They pop out of the ground. Oh,
yep.
So bad.
The, what was it, Army of Darkness? Army of Darkness had some excellent claymation in it. It's ridiculous.
It's just ridiculous thinking back on, like, how that process must have happened, and how, like, just budget, like, how easily we could do that now with technology in, like, a half an hour.
Uh-huh.
You just take, like, clay, and you make this, like, goofy thing, and it starts moving, and it's like, it's just so budget.
Yeah, I think we should do that. I think we should make a claymation of ourselves.
We should make a claymation episode of the Late Night Gamers podcast.
Yes. That would actually be awesome. Like, if just all of us sitting around the table, except I think Charles would be the most interesting because he's the most, like, dramatic physically.
Yeah, he'd be like 10 feet tall, and then we'd all be normal sized people.
I think the one thing I would want is that my eyes would be crazy, like the villain in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Oh my god. So, anyway, other big news this week, we had the NSA and basically the English equivalent, GCHQ spying on virtual environments, including World of Warcraft, Second Life, and I guess Xbox Live, in some cases. But that seems crazy. They were looking for, like, they were looking for terrorists
because they would, like, use it as a place where they could communicate clandestinely. But they just really wanted to. They just wanted to play the game on work time. That's what it was down to.
I mean, there was never like an indication that they were actually doing this. It was like them trying to, you know, make sure that, you know, have all the bases covered by, you know, monitoring this stuff too. But there was never like there were terrorists in WoW and they had to, you know, thwart some plot.
I'm going to Molten Core later. Are we going to blow up Molten Core?
Yeah, I think everyone, all the kids, all the 5-year-olds and 10-year-olds who play WoW are terrorists anyway. They're just a different type of terrorist.
It's funny because I can't imagine having that job and having to like sift through the like what everything everyone says, like.
Like, all the Chuck Norris trolls in the Badlands.
No, you're just like, they're like, so how is, what's your report this week on playing WoW? And you're like, well, Obama was used 5 million times in trade chat, and everything was negative. About 300 people said they wanted to kill him, so...
you gotta give that all that stuff to the Secret Service.
should we look into this? And then like the guy's just like, nah, yeah, whatever. And then it's just like, what could you possibly do with that information?
Yeah, they're not looking at the conversations, they're looking at the metadata.
Yeah. It's like if you go into trade chat, like, yo, let's go blow up something in the United States government, I bet you'd get, like, 5 people, like, positively respond to you in that game. Yeah. And they're not even terrorists, they're just like... They're like they're like a 30-year-old guy that lives in his mom's basement.
It's like, yeah, I got all the fertilizer right next to me, I've been shitting in the basement for 5 years.
Baron's chat was actually an attempt to entrap the players, you know, within the Galong plots.
Worst.
I mean,
it's just pointless.
You said, Steve, that they were playing like Horde characters because they didn't think that they didn't think that Alliance people were.
I don't know if it was like the article, the way the article was written, but it said like. It said, like, you know, NSA officials played as trolls and orcs to find...
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah.
And then I'm just like, oh, of course they only played Horde characters. Like, they didn't even bother making, like, a human or anything. And the best comment on, like, on this article was, like, the first comment just said, I always knew the NSA were really trolls.
Yeah.
Oh, God, so good. Good stuff.
Truth. I wonder how much they paid these people to do this, though. This is crazy.
Probably like $5 an hour.
They just give them a free subscription, monthly subscription to WoW.
They were just Korean farmers for gold, and they're just do this on the side. They some contracted it out.
They literally just like take their computer and they just like monitor what their computer does while they're playing WoW, and they consider that like, yep,
terrible.
Speaking of Korea, what the hell are they doing over there? Executing people?
Yeah. On the north side.
Yeah, north side.
North side!
And Dennis Rodman is still going back to train their basketball team.
I know. The best part is, like, he's training them, and then, like, I think January 9th or something, they're having a game. It's, like, some NBA player, old NBA players, and, like, Rodman versus that team.
Oh, God.
and the first half, and then in the second half, it's, like, they mix them up. And, like, just, like, everyone was just, like, they better not lose, or Dennis Rodman's going to be killed on the spot.
Yeah, plotting against the government.
Honestly, I think the relationship is such that if any team beat the Dennis Rodman team, they would be killed.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Kim Jong-un would be like, what are you doing? He is my honored guest. You're all dead. You and your families are dead.
They just set up, like, sniper towers in the basketball court. And they're like going to take a layup. Oh, God!
Shut up.
No, it's like they just battle royale. They just put collars on them all on the basketball court, and then if they're running to like gonna score, they just blow their head off.
It's instead of the guys with the little sweat squeegees, they're squeegeeing out blood like.
play on.
Why on earth is Dennis Rodman going over to Korea? It doesn't make any sense to me.
No.
Okay.
He's a diplomat, that's why.
It's like he can't be that so ignorant that he doesn't realize that they're like this. He's like, oh, he's such a nice guy, but is he really? Like, really?
I think at this point he just got in over his head and he can't say no anymore, otherwise he probably will be killed.
Mm. He's like, I'm just going to stay in Chicago. And then a hit's put out on him. Ridiculous.
Terrible. I mean, if we really wanted to change something, send over Michael Jordan. At least he was, like, the best basketball player.
But none of the Koreans could afford Hanes.
They're all wearing Fruit of the Loom.
It's not actually funny. It's a serious problem over there.
It is. Yeah, it is. So anyway, this week we were going to talk a little bit about co-op gaming and how it's evolved and how it's kind of changed the whole co-op atmosphere since the beginning. And I kind of made a couple stages of co-op gaming, and everybody can chime in, but the first thing I figured was like alternating two-player, which not really co-op, but it was, you know, Super Mario 3, a lot of other earlier NES games where it was just like you're going through the levels, but it's the only time you were actually on screen together was if you did those pal things, and then you go and you try and steal shit from the other player.
Yeah, which was like fucking the opposite of co-op.
Exactly. I mean, they were optional, so it was kind of weird. But you could, I don't know what the point of it was, because you would just go in and you'd be like, oh, it's my turn, so I'm gonna go in and kill him or like knock him out so that I can then take his turn and steal all his stuff, steal his abilities, and then go and play the game. And usually it was like the better player that would do that. So it like the person who actually sucked at Super Mario was just screwed. But
in Super Mario 3, did you have to like you guys work together on the same map, or did you get different maps? I can't remember.
Each person, well, you were beating the same levels.
Yeah.
So if one person beat like level 1-1, then the next person could beat 1-2, and then.
Oh, okay. So you were like sharing the same map.
Yeah.
See, that was like that was way better than like back when you used to play like Mario 1 or whatever, and you just start on level 1.
Right.
Like, yeah, it's brutal. Because at least like you were working together. Like when somebody like beat a level, you were like happy for them, because that meant you didn't have to beat it.
Well, that's what Tim and I did. That like, was this last year, year before, like. We came back and we played Super Mario 3 all the way. I think we played every single level all the way up until like the sixth level or something.
All I know is that you carried that team, man, because I wasn't doing jack shit.
Super Mario 3. I love the physics in that, where it was like the first game where you could run and you would slide just a little bit, like if you had momentum.
Yeah, like early video game physics.
Hmm.
Unlike Super Mario Bros. 2, where you just slid everywhere. And you slid off the edge.
That game made no sense whatsoever. I mean, for obvious reasons, because it wasn't actually Super Mario, but.
I feel like there's so many levels in Super Mario Bros. 3 that I never even played because I just fluted past like so much shit.
Yeah.
Like, all mm-hmm. the, like, teddy bear stone costume levels and
stuff. Oh, that was like, awesome! That was, like, the fucking Tookie suit. Love that.
Just never happened for me. Just, like, fuck that shit. Going straight to the end right now.
What I hated was having the frog costume. If you were, like, in a non-water level. That was the worst. Because you'd just be like... You're just like, boing, boing. And there's, it just wasn't, as good. Mm. But, after kind of like the alternating two player, we were able to do two players on one screen. Granted, in some of the earlier games, it lagged out like to the max, but, a few of the things that I had down were Contra, Double Dragon, River City Ransom. Some later games were Ratchet and Clank and Dungeon Siege 3, which Tim and I played a while ago. And that was like some of the early, well, like Contra and Double Dragon, you were like two players and you were on like you could be right next to each other. It was like there were like two different vertical levels that you could
punch, kick, strong kick, fast kick,
and attack people. And you were going just like it was just a side scroller, and then like Dungeon Siege 3 was like an isometric top down sort of, and you could see both players, but then you didn't have the if one player was on one side, you wouldn't be able to go outside of that player, like a certain distance from that player. So I think that really opened up co-op gaming to begin with, like, because there was like, I don't know, you were sitting next to the person actually playing concurrently with the with that second person.
Yeah, I remember playing. Me and my brother, when we first had our Sega Genesis, we played Toe Jam and Earl, and like the first one, I'm pretty sure you alternated, and then the second one came out, and you could like play at the same time, and we were like, oh my god, because I mean you can do that in Sonic, but it was just like crazy to like having gone from alternating to finally being able to play together. It was such a cool idea.
Yeah, I remember like how ridiculous Sonic was when you could like someone could play his tails and just grab you and fly up, and you were just like, "This is insane!" And, like, and it also made you feel like shit because you didn't have a friend that could just do it for you. You're like, "I really wish I had someone who could just lift me up his tails right now."
Or you just plug in the second controller, and then like when you wanted to like bypass something,
you're just like tapping. That's like go. That definitely happened when I was a kid, unfortunately.
Those games are so good.
Yeah.
Moving on to the next one.
Do it.
The next thing that kind of opened up was, I think the thing that basically shaped all of our childhoods is split-screen multiplayer. Multiplayer and co-op, and the difference between this and two players on one screen is that each player had their own like square of screen on the television, so they could individually be wherever they wanted to. They weren't limited by any of the other players, which that was a huge step up from.
How do we do that with GoldenEye? You had like 2 pixels in this little baby corner, like
4-player on a 27-inch screen. Oof.
I was the master of GoldenEye, but I going back, it's just like the radar was so amazing. I could just hunt people down, knew exactly where they were.
Well, because it was always there, no matter what, right? It wasn't like it.
Well, there was like a hard mode that turned it off.
Mm.
And then there were like all these different modes, you know.
Yeah.
It's mind-blowing, though, that we, like, survived that. Like, if you played GoldenEye on, like, the TVs that we had back then, full screen, you'd be like, dude, I can't handle this right now. I can't see anything. It's so blurry. And then you, like, put it into 4 screens, and you're just like, how? It's like, maybe, like, trying to play GoldenEye on your, like, playing GoldenEye on your, like, smartphone is probably better resolution now than it was then.
Definitely. I mean, back then it was like,
especially since everything is in shades of gray or green, like
yeah, all the levels were so like bland colored.
50 shades of green.
It was so hard to tell the difference between like you'd be running around and you're like you were basically looking for a shadow against like a lighter background or like some sort of movement in the foreground. Oh, there's somebody. I'll just shoot in their general direction and then yep. Oh crap! I only have a clob, so
it was like a funhouse mirror. You go in and you're like walking around and you see somebody and they're you think that they're right next to you, but they're actually like 10 feet away. Like oh crap!
I think it's also ridiculous to think about how slow like our sensitivity was and like things like we were just so used to it then, but like you're just like
yeah.
You're like, you can't even turn around, like
you just strafe. You have to just press the right C button and just like keep moving so you can move around back so you can shoot somebody.
So you can didn't dodge someone who's
strafe,
behind you.
Strafe,
yeah,
strafe.
I think I rarely use the actual like aim component. I just would like strafe around and then eventually I would get into a point where I could, and then I would just shoot. Like I would be like a helicopter flying by, just like.
Oh my god.
So
and
yeah.
The unarmed component to that game was ridiculous.
Oh my god.
Judo chop.
And it was like, all it reminded me of was like the Vulcan death grip sort of thing, because it's so slow.
Yeah.
Like, if you actually had that sort of force behind the hand, like, it would just be like, you'd be like tapping someone on the shoulder. Like, what the fuck you doing? Like, get out of here.
Well, I think that's pretty much how it worked in the game too, because it didn't hit them. It didn't bring them down in life at all. You could be the two of two people could be like swan at each other for a good minute and a half before you dead.
It was like, I mean, it was basically like watching two girls like slap fight each other, like. Yeah, and then there was like, and then there was Golden Gun mode, which. You just run around and like, oh,
that
dead.
Was the worst.
Oh, one shot kills.
The laser.
Oh, the laser! I forgot about the laser.
Oh yeah.
Or the RCP-90, which was my favorite, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Well, cause it had like
RPC.
RCP. Yeah, it was RCP-90, and it would shoot off like 1,500 rounds a minute. It was ridiculous. It was like.
With that gun, you just kill everything. It could go through walls. Or go through doors, anyway.
Well, you could just stand and like, move back and forth, and you didn't actually have to, like, aim at anything.
That's
like,
what I'm saying. It was like a helicopter swipe back. You just blow out the whole room and then just walk away.
Mow them down.
Shoot all the chairs and watch them explode.
Yeah, the TVs.
Hide in the bathroom stall and wait for someone to come down the air duct and then just blast.
Yeah, because that was like one of the only spawn points in that facility level.
Oh man, that level.
The bunker.
When you're actually in the game and you're like crawling through that thing and you're just watching this guy and it's like, what the fuck are you doing? Are you like shitting your pants in that? Like, he never sits on the toilet. He doesn't. Nothing happens that makes him actually look like he's going to the bathroom. He's just standing in a stall. Like, it's like oh, he's like talking to his like supervisor or something. He's like, I need to go to the restroom, and he just went in there to fart or something.
Like, well, at that point, the game was rated T, and if they actually had him sit down, that would have been rated M. Who knows?
That's probably true.
Charles had his way. That guy would have taken this shit into some Depends. So.
Well, no, he wasn't gaming. I mean, come on.
Some other games that had this sort of same co-op component was, I think, Perfect Dark did.
Yeah,
it was more refined than GoldenEye though, because obviously it was its like spiritual successor.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
Mario Kart is the best one.
Mario Kart's so good. Like, it'd be so intense when you're fucking driving around. There's four cards going on screen. It's so distracting to have four, like, three other vehicles on the screen while you're trying to figure out, like, where to go in your screen.
Especially even for somebody who's played it a lot, I always get mixed up and think I'm in the wrong car. It's like, which one am I? Oh, crap.
I know, I don't know, Charles, did you ever come over in college when me and the other guys in the suite we'd have, like, ridiculous, like, Mario Kart tournaments?
No.
And, oh, my God. Like, we just sit down and we'd play N64 Mario Kart on, like, a 42-inch plasma screen. And basically, we kept, like, we just did it. I think that was, like, one of two games, that and PGA Golf, Tiger Woods Golf from like the original PlayStation, and we would just look for cheats in the level. Like, there was one where it was like a maze of a level, and like if you hit this bump just right and you did like a 180 off of the jump, you could flip your car around and go to the other side of the wall and keep driving. It was ridiculous. I remember going to an actual, like, tournament on campus. It was Mario Kart. And, like, me and Kevin Burrell, we, like, owned these other kids from, like, this, like, electronics club. And they were like, oh, what the hell, guys? So mad. Another thing that was, like, the same thing, Twisted Metal. Twisted Metal was, like, ridiculousness.
I love Twisted Metal.
Just driving around, blowing each other up. Or Vigilante 8.
Yeah.
That was a good one, too.
That was a rip-off of Twisted Metal, but it was still fun.
Oh, totally, yeah. You could drive around a school bus in that one, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I think both had a school bus, actually, but...
Could they?
Yeah, I think that... Or maybe it was the ice cream driver.
Ice cream truck!
Yeah.
Some later games that had, like, the split-screen multiplayer sort of thing was, that used it actually really well was Army of Two. And that game is, like, if you play that game single-player with only one person, it's just, like, it wasn't the same. It was one of those games that you could not... same thing with, like, Resident Evil 5. It was like, why would you even play this game by yourself? What's the point? I think Tim and I played both Army of Two and Resident Evil 5. Mm. We beat Resident Evil 5 in one night, which was an awful feat.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I think, you know, I feel like that's kind of like a dying thing, like these couch co-op things. Yeah. I mean, it's especially like the games that are like specifically designed. I mean, Army of Two, obviously, why would you buy, you know, why would you get that for yourself? It's like a total co-op game.
Yeah.
But definitely. I feel like you won't see that as much nowadays.
Yeah, it just kind of sucks. All games that say co-op, it's really online co-op, which is kind of a cop-out. Do they even have the capability? I think it's the main question. It's like, do all these games that come out for some of the consoles, they say multiplayer, do they even allow you to do split screen if you wanted to?
No. I think the console games might be more likely to, you know, but it's definitely more so than like a PC game.
Yeah, I don't think PC games ever really had that available.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of games you can't play couch co-op. I mean,
I remember playing what is it called? Rampage on the old PC, on like the first PC we had, and it's like you could do multiplayer, but like everyone had to crouch over the same keyboard, and like you would have like the keys way over on the left, and then they would have the keys way over on the right. It was actually it was a cool idea, you know.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous. Yeah, I'm looking at the back of Killzone Shadowfall right now, and it says one player or 2 to 24 network players.
Lame.
Yeah,
that is lame.
So a lot of games don't do couch co-op anymore, which is too bad, because I thoroughly enjoy it. When you can sit next to someone and just be like, all right, let's play this fucking game like all night long and drink an entire 12-pack of Coca-Cola. It's just like, you wake up feeling awful, but...
Can we just talk about...
12-pack, not a 24?
Yeah, let's talk about how much soda we consumed while playing video games, because it was not healthy, dude. We would like polish off like 2 liters... By the minute, and then they would turn into tools. I remember Alan's birthday party one year. We collected, it was like bottles, empty 2 liters, like 50 of them, and they would use them as you know, swords, basically, you know, little mini maces, and we had like wars with the soda bottles.
And it turned into like it was basically like Lord of the Flies, and I have no idea why it turned out this way, but. Like all these bottles came out, and like we were like fighting for like the rug colonies or some bullshit. Like what?
Remember we took like the full bottles and we were using them as torpedoes, and we were like launching them at Aaron Campbell's back, and he was playing something, and then we were hitting him in the back with the bottles, and then he kept turning around, getting real mad, and then he like came and attacked us. It was seriously Lord of the Flies.
Well, I'm pretty sure. Well, Eric Campbell, all he used to do is he would play by
troll.
Himself.
He was a troll.
Yes, he was
the troll.
He was a master troll.
like, this was back when everybody spawned at the same place. Like, I forget what it was. And he would just, like, he'd, like, self-grenade, like, throw a grenade down to the ground and blow up, like, 10 players on his team.
He, would, like, he did that all night. Fucker. He did that all night one day. We were all, like, sleeping. He had the headset on.
And he would just talk shit to them all day long.
He would be playing Rainbow Six, and he would just sit with the grenade launcher. He would only play on servers with friendly fire. He would get in, immediately shoot the grenade launcher, and kill everyone on the team. And then he would just sit there and taunt people for hours. And hours. Like, what are you doing? It was hilarious, though.
He was so ridiculous about that stuff. So yeah, bringing up that whole time period in our lives was when consoles, well, I think it was only Xbox, actually, that could, you could LAN, like, the consoles together, and it was like, we play Halo on, like, 4 different screens with 16 players.
That was nuts. That was cool. I think one of the cool things about that, too, was that it meant that you could do, like, couch co-op, but without being forced to use, like, the tiny split screen, you know, because you could, like, you could, I think it was, like, 4 Xboxes you could put together, so potentially you could have, like, 4 people with their own screens, which was nice, but it also was, like, total disadvantage for all the other people if you had to play split screen.
Yeah. And it was this was, like, totally the perfect predecessor to, online gaming.
Yeah.
It, you know, you were totally separated out by television. So if you were playing, like, just like you said, like, 4 players, then each person would have a whole TV to themselves. And now it's like nobody would even think twice about it. Like, most players, I don't think, would even play a game where you could have four person split screen on one screen. Everybody's spoiled.
Yeah, that's true.
Little shits.
Though you could have, like, 24 people in one room with 24 different computers and each with their own monitors, which is what happens at PAX.
That's true.
But that's still, that's so hot and disgusting.
Really. Can you imagine what that room smells like?
Well, a case in point, we were talking about when we went over to Steve's and we got a big thing of beans and we just sat there playing a bean stew. It was like,
this was not at my place, thank God. This was at Brandon's.
Yeah, well, whose idea was it to get beans, really?
Alright, so
Brandon's.
No, well, this is what happened. I'll tell the entire story. One time we were at, like, Walmart and we saw this, like 3-pound bag of Skittles, and someone was like, "Brandon, I'll give you $20 if you can eat all of that." And since his mom has diabetes, we decided that was probably a bad idea because we didn't want to give Brandon diabetes. So we're like, you know, we need to get an eating contest. So we went to Costco's and we just started walking down the aisles and pointing at all the different things in bulk that we could buy. And we were really close to buying those, you know, those, like, barrel, like, Kool-Aid drinks.
Oh, God, those are the worst.
Oh, Jesus. Those are, like, sugar water.
Those things were disgusting when I was a kid, and I was addicted to sugar.
We were really close to getting, like, because they sell them, like, 48 packs.
Like,
and So then we just turned around. There was, like, this 5-pound can of beans for, like, $5, and we're like, "This is both economically efficient and somewhat healthy for you." Yeah. The thing is, having a bean eating contest was the worst idea ever, because beans are, like, one of the few foods that you eat that, like, does not, like, break down when you chew it up. Like, it doesn't. You don't conserve space. Like, it's not like. It's not like, I don't know, I can't think, like, you know, bread or something when you, like, chew it up, like, it kind of just settles in your stomach. Like, beans are extremely dense. Like, you had, like, 2 bowls of beans, and I was like, "I'm out, I quit, I'm done." All I know is that we went and just bought this shit. We didn't even, like, ask Brandon if he wanted to do it, and we just came back to his house. We had, like, 5 giant cans of beans we spent, like, $25 on. And Brandon was just whining the whole time about how he didn't want to eat beans.
I don't want to eat beans.
He was so pissed. And then like, so it was basically just me, Ryan, Charles, and Mikey going at it. Brandon had just given up. And then his mom, like, we're at his house, and he was just not involved. And then his mom made hot dogs. So he had, like, hot dogs and beans. And then he got sick and just threw out all of them. So after all that, no, he's the only one that wasn't trying it. He actually threw up.
fail.
It was the best. And then the best part is, like, that was one night where we like drank afterwards. Like, we had all these beans, and then like Steph Key and Andrew Sultan came over, and we started like drinking beers and shit, and like we were all like, the place smelled like beans. There was so many open bean containers everywhere. And it was like, we were all like, I don't want to drink.
We're all homeless, like, basically.
Oh my god, it was the worst. I didn't eat beans for like a fucking year after that.
That's ridiculous.
Don't do it ever. Just never.
Stay away from beans.
So wait, were they baked beans or were they...
Yeah, they were like Boston baked beans or something.
Okay.
Just some generic. The best part was, like, we had to, like, we couldn't cook the whole can, so we had to, like, you know, we had to, like throw a bunch in a bowl, microwave it. We had, like, we had strategies, like, should I just eat it cold? Like, was it... it was like shitting for days after that. So bad.
How did we
gaming
get here?
Gaming gone wrong. That's how we got there.
We're talking about
LAN parties.
I can't remember what we were playing during that. I think it was EverQuest 2 or something, or like.
Oh yeah,
MMO,
they had like a trial run you could play.
Oh, we could all play
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, that's right. We would just name all our characters, like, we'd have like five of us, and we'd name us like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Something retarded, then we'd just run around and like jump on people and shit, like, and they'd be like, dude, get away from me, and we'd just like steal their kills and stuff. They'd be like camping a rare spawn, it'd be six of us trying to kill it. Oh god.
Oh man. Shit.
Anyways.
So well, do we want to... Why don't we just go into the top five?
Sure.
So that we're kind of on track with the rest of this, too. First of all, everything at eventually went on to just total online, and that's how it is now. You guys, everybody who's listening to this knows that. Or you should. If you don't, you're dumb. So, yeah. We're gonna go on to our top five, and the top five this week is top five most infuriating issues in co-op games. And, the first one, I was thinking about was, player movement limits, which I mentioned earlier with Dungeon Siege 3. And Tim and I were playing this, and, I think we played through, didn't we play through on hard? I think we did, because I'm such a trophy whore that I need to play through everything on hard first, just so I get all, like, the most trophies out of each playthrough.
Yeah. I think we played on hard, and then there was, like, another harder one after that we tried playing, but it was, like, impossible.
Yeah, it was terrible. If Tim was on one side of the map, and he was attacking someone, and I was on the other, like, I think I was range, I was, like, a ranged person. So I was like shooting arrows or magic or something, and Tim was, I think it was one of us, and we were stuck in a corner, and like I was getting attacked, you were getting attacked, but neither of us could like run away in a direction away from the enemies, because it was just like, what the fuck.
Well, there was that one boss that like you were like in this one big like room, big like building, and they did like these AoE attacks, so like they were shooting bolts out, and it was like you had to dodge them, but with two people it was like you're both you're trying to run out of the stuff stretching to either end of the screen, and like you couldn't get out, you know, so you're just like, this lady beat the shit out of you because you couldn't escape the screen, you know.
Oh my god,
it was horrible.
Yeah, and yeah, this is the worst. One game that I think actually does, like, single camera angle screens is the Lego games. Because the Lego games actually, you're one camera screen if you're together, but then the screen, like, splits if you're, like, too far away from each other. So then you can actually, like, you become your own, like, individual.
Whatever. You just gotta make sure that you're playing when you're still coherent, because the game is just absolutely ridiculous with coins and stuff everywhere.
There were coins everywhere. All right, well, Charles and I, we played that for like a little bit, and then I fell asleep, and Charles is still playing while we were playing. I was dead, just like
you were still running around like a little bit. You were like.
It was the worst. Anyways, number two.
Friendly fire. No one likes friendly fire, man.
No.
Except for Eric Campbell.
That's true.
He loves it. He thrives on it. He eats off it. But the worst is when you're playing a game that's not even like online friendly fire, and you're just in a single player campaign, but the person you're playing with shoots you. Whether it's on purpose or accident, you die.
So. It's really like the most masochistic of all these things on this list, because it's like, what do you really get out of it other than, you know, forcing people to, you know, be more careful when they shoot stuff?
Mm.
Yeah,
terrible. It was always the worst, because like in some games you'd be playing and you're like shooting at someone, and then like you'd be playing with some other like dumb person, and they would just like walk in front of you and like die.
Yeah.
And it was like, what are you doing? Like, you can see my bullets flying. Like,
The fucking STARS members on Area 51, like, get out of here. Why are you running in front of me? I'm shooting stuff. Get out of here.
Stay low. And you run by them, and yeah, we've had this conversation, but they're slow as shit too. They're like,
yeah.
I'm hiding behind this box.
I think, like, this is, like, the spawn of, like, a lot of serious rage in first-person shooters, like, the older ones, especially, like, Data Feet, where someone just on your team would blow you up, and you'd just be like, are you serious? What's wrong with you? You just get so angry at your own team. And, like, I did, like, more so than I'd get at the other team, because, like, they're actually trying to kill me, and I'm just like, you must be retarded. Like, what's wrong with you? And I just go off on this rant about how bad they are and how they need to quit and uninstall the game and all this other stuff. Because of friendly fire.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that happened.
Number three.
Sharing lives and power-ups.
And this is when you play with someone that's really bad and they just fall down the hole 100 times and they have zero lives.
And then they press, and then they press start and there he goes, one of yours.
And you're just like, no, don't. Just be dead.
Stop playing. Stop pressing start. Stop it. I think Double Dragon was like this.
Was it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, there are a lot of NES games that were on-screen co-op.
Yeah, I think the majority of those kind of games, if they were co-op, they had this component.
Double Dragon, also, can I just say this is kind of retro, like, I'm stepping back one number, but Double Dragon was the worst friendly fire. Like, those type of games where you could just punch somebody, you were like, the game's a button smashing game, you'd be like punching some bad guy and then the guy would walk over and you'd knock him off the edge. You'd be like, are you serious? Why is this even in the game? Why is this even in the game? You never need to punch your own teammate, ever. Like,
because the developers are trolls.
No, it's just, they're like trying to make it difficult, but the game's already so fucking hard as it is, like, so it's just constantly like, back your ass up, I'm punching this guy right now, like, stay back. And that goes with sharing lives, because you'd like knock him off the edge and then you'd just lose one of your lives and you'd be like, oh well, that's great, I just killed myself essentially by punching this guy. Anyways,
anger.
Alright. Number four.
Alright, I'll do four. This is when one person dies, it's over. And this is like, what I mean by this is, I think this is in the new Super Mario Bros. Where like, if the first player dies, the game just ends. Like, this happens in, I think, I'm definitely sure it happens in some of the Wii games, like Kirby, some of the Kirby games where you have like, you know, four people on the screen at the same time. Cause like, the first player, like, it's so imperative. Like, I'm like, if I'm the first player, I'm like, you guys just fight. I'm going to just stand in this corner because if I die, the game just ends, which is such BS because all the other players can just keep dying and dying and losing your lives, and you're like, just have to, like, be super cautious. Worse.
It did this in Resident Evil 5, too, right?
If
one of you died.
Same thing.
There would be times where, like, you couldn't get to the other person to revive them. Yeah. And it'd be like, oh, yeah, you're dying up there. And you'd have to wait, like, the 20 seconds or whatever for the person to die before you could actually continue from the place that you last saved or whatever. So dumb.
Yeah, annoying.
Number five. Number five is screen watching. Which,
yeah.
This is just like fucking. Like, stop it! I'm gonna punch you in the face. Like, we could be best friends.
Is this if you're
like
playing GoldenEye and somebody's looking at your screen? Like, what?
Yeah, or Halo or anything.
Yeah,
this was like the original form of calling hacks.
Yeah. I can remember doing that. I think this was a valid strategic option, especially like when you're playing like Halo and someone was sniping and stuff, and it's like, fuck it, oh, you just get so mad because it's like, fucker, and then you finally figure out where they are, you're like, okay, now I can devise a plan. But if you didn't if you didn't have that screen to look at, you'd be like totally screwed. It'd be like, no hope.
No, it was like a last case scenario for when someone was just being super lame. There's so many times in Halo when someone was sniping, and I'm just like, okay, you're over there on that ridge, like, screw this shit. I'm just a warhog over there, and then drive around the bush, and it's just like, yeah. But this was like the one thing too, like in GoldenEye, when you started losing, you just start yelling it out. Stop watching my screen, man! You're watching my screen.
Then someone would, like, slam it down, and they'd just be, like, smashing the controller and walking away. And
those controllers just, like, took a beating.
You'd put, like, a cardboard box up in between the screen.
Yeah. I was going to say, have you ever seen that picture where the guy has, like, it almost looks like a sweatshirt, and it's, like, going over his half of the screen, like, so, yeah.
People got serious about that shit.
Yeah.
It's important.
It is.
It's kind of, you know, it's not a big deal anymore now that we've switched, like, online things, but back then, man, it was horrible.
Now you just, if you're playing a multiplayer game, you just do, like a hack on Twitch or something, and you have it in, like, the corner of your screen, you're playing in this little area, and you're watching theirs on Twitch, and you're just like, huh.
You just find their Twitch account, and then you watch what they're streaming.
Yeah, exactly. While you're playing.
Asshole.
Although there's like a pretty big delay on Twitch, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it is.
To be a pretty slow game.
Well, if they're a sniper,
it's actually it turns into StarCraft. Like, yeah, it turns into an RTS.
You're like, why? Well, I know. Like 20 seconds ago, he built this. So
All right. Well, I think we'll get to maybe a listener question. We're like 50 minutes in right now. And do you guys all watch? Did you all watch VGX?
I did not watch it, but I was looking at the winners, and I'm kind of like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I was. Well, I'll read the question first. At Shifty25, asked. Shifty. He's a.
I don't know about this guy. He's kind of shifty.
He's a he's a police officer in training. I found this out. So he's at the academy right now, or he might be done by now. But so yeah, congratulations, kudos to you for doing that. So he asks, what are your thoughts on this year's VGX and the world premieres?
I also did not watch the whole thing. I forgot it was on, honestly. and I wanted to watch it, but from what I've heard from people and from this, like, the clips that I've watched, it's just like, it's total, like, it just looks like total garbage.
I need to vent about this, because if you go on the website, you can like look at all the. That's I just went and looked at like what won and stuff. But yeah. something I think people don't realize is that only there's like they gave it like 20 something awards. Only three of them are voted on by people. The rest are all voted on by council. Whatever that means.
What the fuck is the council?
The Shadow Council. What do they think? They're Academy Awards.
Right. So some group of like industry guys vote on these and say, okay, these are the games that we think should win. So I think there's a real disparity between what they vote to win and what people, what you know, what real gamers actually like.
Do you know which ones were voted on by people?
Yeah, the most anticipated, the character of the year, and the best mobile game.
The three throwaway categories.
Yeah, it's like most anticipated game. It's a game that's not even out. Character of the year. It's like, meh. Best mobile game, I guess, if you're into mobile games. But most gamers are into other games, not on mobile devices.
They're all like questionable. Anyways.
Yeah, the people that are watching this awards show are not watching it because they're like huge mobile gaming fans.
Yeah, they're looking for like the game of the year or the best Xbox, PC, or PlayStation game or best shooter or best RPG, but not the best mobile game.
Just I also don't know, like I didn't play Grand Theft Auto 5, so I don't really know like if that was like worthy of getting game of the year.
Yeah, it seems like it came out really I guess it doesn't matter when it comes out, but when it's going
a lot
up
of
against
the games came out late.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, compared to on this list, yeah.
But like Last of Us, I feel like I don't know.
That should have been I don't know.
I know they gave it best PlayStation game and maybe that's why they didn't give it the best game, but like honestly, you can give more than one.
Well, I think that just shows where like the council politics come in, you know.
They won the best PlayStation game but it didn't win the game of the year. How is that even possible? Well, I guess it's the only PlayStation game, and I guess it's like on Grand Theft Auto.
What I found really weird is they gave BioShock Infinite the best Xbox game, but it wasn't even listed in the PC games.
Wait, really?
Yeah, I don't even know the best PC game.
No, best Xbox game was Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons.
Oh, you're right. But it was still listed as an Xbox game rather than a PC game, which makes very little sense to me.
BioShock Infinite was given best shooter, which
it makes no sense.
Like, what?
It's not a shooter.
Did you play this game?
Like, you're looking at other games that are multiplayers, which are actually identified as shooters. Does BioShock Infinite even have a strict shooting other people component? No, it doesn't.
I think if you need a single reason to totally discount these awards, that is it right there. They gave BioShock Infinite best shooter. Like, what are these people smoking?
Well, did you see the best PC game? Gone Home? I didn't even know what it was. I had to look it up. I mean, I didn't even know about it. Like, how is that even possible?
I've seen
it
on, like, Steam a few times.
I've seen it on Steam that I see it.
It does look like, I mean, it did look like a cool game, but it wasn't so much a game as an experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like an adventure, which is, like, fine, but, I mean, for the best game of all PC games that this entire full year, that's pretty bold.
And another one that I'm, like, wondering about is Assassin's Creed Black Flag is, like, that action-adventure game.
Yeah.
Compared to, like, some of the other ones,
I feel like that should have been BioShock Infinite.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Would have made a lot more sense.
Yeah.
But.
And I mean, like, I was looking at it too, and the fact that Studio of the Year was Naughty Dog, and they did Last of Us, and
they didn't give it to.
And they gave it to Grand Theft Auto 5. So it's like, well, what about, like, I mean, and if that's the case, then wouldn't you think that the best game of the year would be Rockstar? They sold a fucking billion copies of the game in a day and a half.
I think this is where like it's definitely politics, because it's like they don't want to give, because I mean obviously there's one game that's going to totally dominate if you look at it that way, then they would just win all the awards, so they're gonna have to like divvy it up, which is, you know,
but they divvied it up stupid. In such a weird way that doesn't make any sense is really the issue, like giving games that are on PC to putting them in an Xbox category, giving games that are like, not even in the right genre. Like, BioShock Infinite is not a shooter.
No.
Yeah.
It's just bizarre.
But I can say that best DLC, Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, was really good.
Yeah.
That was the only one
I was like, this. When I was going down the list, I was like, okay, this makes sense. I mean, I didn't agree with the first couple choices, but then I got to that one. I was like, okay, that makes sense. But then he got to the PlayStation, Xbox, and shooter ones, and it was just ridiculous. It was just ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of like, I look at it as, you know, if this was the Academy Awards, like the movie version of
of GTA 5 would not have won. Like, it would have gone to The Last of Us.
Unfortunately, The Last of Us would have won most of these categories, which is why they probably didn't just do that.
Right. Yeah. But
once you say it's the best game, it's hard to say it's not the best action game.
It wouldn't have won best PC game or best Xbox game because it wasn't
sure.
<there.
laughs> Sure.
Or best shooter, like, maybe it would have. Who knows? It's funny to me that they had Battlefield 4 and Call of Duty Ghosts, two games which are actually the shooters of the year, and they chose BioShock Infinite.
Honestly, BioShock Infinite is a better shooter than both of those games, so... Battlefield 4 sucks the nutsacks right now, because it's, like, I can't get through an entire fucking game without the network, like, timing out or me getting booted.
That sucks.
It's garbage. And there's so many, like, glitches where it's like, oh, I one-shot killed you from all the way across the map, and... I raged really hard. Spawn point from, like, I'm, like, on top of a fucking building, and someone shoots me from the ground, and I'm in the middle of the building. It's like, no. Just, no.
Well, Call of Duty is a $60 title in my library. So.
$60 virtual paperweight.
Yep. Making up for all those Humble Bundles I got.
Giving
up my cash flow.
So I think the only other question that we're probably going to get to, for right now, cause Chaffee has a good question, but I feel like that's a bit like this whole, he asks a much broader question that I think we're going to tackle on another episode. We won't talk about it now. Look forward to it though. Chaffee is one of our...
stay tuned!
One of our friends of the podcast. But Chaffee did ask, did Charles get revenge on the cat from the last episode? Cats is rude for real.
The answer to that question is a definitive yes. He's actually... Before the podcast began, he decided... I just recently got a new desk and monitor, so I've been sitting in here with a new chair. And the cat decided that he was going to hop up on the chair... And so I brought the webcam down so that everyone could take a good look. And then he got a little too comfortable, so I sat on him, and that was the revenge.
And then Charles immediately said after, what did you say? You were like,
I said I didn't think he would. I thought he would actually move faster than that because I got a good crunch on him. It was like. Like, I sat on him pretty well, and he was, like, rubbing my ass on him, you know. But then he hopped away, like... so he's still alive, so. Not vengeance if he dies.
Alright, so why don't we real quick just go through what we're playing right now, and then we'll peace out.
I gotta think about this.
I got into the WildStar beta, the stress test, which was awesome, dude. It only just made me more excited for the game. Unfortunately, it's only for a couple hours last week, but definitely excited for that. Seems really cool. And they just opened the NDA for levels 1 through 15 for the press, so you might start seeing more stuff. And other than that, well, I've been playing Starbound, which is equally awesome, but also in beta. But that's about it.
Nice. Charles.
Cool.
I am replaying Skyrim with mods, and I'm enjoying it. Though I'm getting kind of frustrated because the game keeps crashing randomly, and I've had that issue when I was playing it before, but it's still frustrating, so I'm trying to figure out exactly what I can do. Doesn't seem like there's all that much I can do, but...
Cool.
Nice.
And I've been kind of similar to him, just playing Starbound. Although they keep like releasing new updates and like wiping characters, so I've kind of, it's hard to like not play because it's a really good game. But at the same time, like, you know, they're being very proactive, so things are changing fast, and so that kind of keeps me interested. And then I've been playing Dota. I got back into Dota somehow. I don't know how I did it. But... Once you pwn a noob, you can't stop.
I right before the podcast, I got the platinum for Oddworld Stranger's Wrath on Vita. So that took a little bit of time.
Nice.
Yeah. That was a turd. I was so pissed. Like, oh my god. I started out playing on hard because that's what you needed to do, and like I looked at like that was one of the trophies, beat it on hard. But then from everything I had read was just like strategies for like I don't like look at everything, but like what to do to like maximize my time so that I'm not like fucking playing through it two or three times because I don't want to. But yeah, I got like probably 65-70% through the game, and one of the things that you were supposed to do was shoot these crystals and collect like 25 of them, and it glitched because one of the friggin' crystals went into the wall. And I was like, you bastard. So I actually I beat the game this morning. I woke up at like probably, I don't know, 5:30 this morning, finished beating the game, and then a little bit later, I started playing it on easy, and after playing it on hard, it was I got to the 65. It took me probably 14 hours to beat the to get the entire game done the first time through, and then afterward, I got to that other point in like an hour and a half. It was wicked easy, on easy. So yeah, that's basically all I've been playing, and some multiplayer Killzone with Brandon. He's nasty. Cool. Like,
he told me he's been dominating in that game.
Yeah, he has been. I need to start playing more so I actually like can catch up to him.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Especially, he was great in Ghosts.
Yep. So anyways,
story of Brandon's life.
Yep.
Yep. Minimal effort.
Maximum reward.
So that brings us to the end of this podcast. So thank you everybody, thank you Chaffee, thank you Shifty, thank you listeners, thank you Tim, thank you Steve, thank you Charles.
You're welcome.
This has been episode episode 16 Late Night Gamers Podcast, and keep an eye out for Christmas episode next week. Alright.
Yeah.
Peace out.
Bye.
Late Night Gamers Podcast, where we make all of your gaming habits seem acceptable.
Late night gamers.
This game sucks so bad, it's so unbalanced, blah, and then I just quit and never play it ever again.
Charles.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut up a dragon's head.
Tim.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess, as long as you don't take your clothes off.
Late night gamers.
And that Chaffee asked, did Charles get revenge on the cat from the last episode?
Which cat?
How did one bit you?
Did you only own one cat?
Yeah. Well, I thought maybe there was a different cat I had sworn vengeance against. I'm a vengeful person.
Shocking.